Welcome to the Global Engagement Insights Podcast. I'm Steve McDonald, your host. Today, we have a very interesting conversation. It's going to be about the SIO's blind spot and how to use SDGs as a framework for internationalization success. And we have two experts in this category. We have Joanna Rogalska and Jolene Shoemaker. And you guys are both from the University of Davis, UC Davis. What I would love to do is have you give us a little bit of background on your experience. And I know, Jolene, you actually have a copy of the book that you've written here, and we're going to talk about that as we get into the podcast a little bit. There you go. What I'd love to do is let's start out that way, explain a little bit about who you are so we get to know you a little bit, and then we're going to talk about this blind spot and how to use SDGs. Joanna, do you want to kick us off?
Sure. As Steve said, I'm Joanna Rogalska. I am the Vice Provost and Dean of Global Affairs at the University of California, Davis. And I'm also a faculty member in the Department of Gender, Sexuality, and Women's Studies. And I've been in the field of international education for many years, working with students, with faculty, working abroad, working in Hungary with Central European University, with many universities in Poland and Georgia. In many ways, helping actually to develop a gender studies program, but also fostering the more deeper and broader student engagement in global learning and global engagement and understanding.
Fantastic. Thank you. Jolene?
Steve, it's great to be here. My name is Jolene Shoemaker. I serve as Director of Global Engagement at UC Davis as well. My background is international peace and security. I spent about 20 years in Washington, D.C., working on various issues on international peace and security, including the Women, Peace and Security agenda, both in the U.S. government and in the NGO sector as well on various advocacy roles over my time there. So very happy to be here and happy to be at UC Davis doing this work.
So I would love to start out very broad. I want to talk about your view of what's the 2030 agenda for sustainable development and using SDGs, and why are they important to higher education in that whole sector? I'd love to know, Jolene, just set the story for us at the very beginning here.
Great. Yeah. The 2030 agenda for sustainable development and the 17 sustainable development goals, also known as the SDGs, were agreed by all countries in the year 2015. And the SDGs cover a broad range of issues from poverty to hunger to climate to inequalities. There are a few aspects of this agenda that make it different and transformational from previous international commitments. First, it brings together the environmental, social, and economic, recognizing that all of these aspects are intersectional and indivisible. And often different issues in the past have been very siloed into distinct commitments internationally, distinct communities of practice. This brings all the threads together. The agenda is also applying to all countries and all contexts. And so it requires the participation of all sectors, and it creates a common framework. And that is very useful for building partnerships and collaborating in new ways. This agenda can be a catalyst to understand what is not working, to address our systemic problems, to innovate in how we really solve the complex problems in the world. And the other thing I wanted to mention about this agenda that makes it unique is it's anchored in universal principles that also apply to all countries. And those universal principles are human rights, gender equality, and leave no one behind. And the leave no one behind principle means that we cannot possibly achieve all of these goals in a sustainable way if we marginalize or leave out groups or communities. So the countries around the world committed that to seek to address the needs of those left furthest behind first. And so this provides a set of principles that can be used to press different actors, governments, many other institutions for accountability. There's a shared commitment for how people are being treated and if they're able to participate in decisions. And all of this is tremendously important to higher education institutions as we prepare the next generation for leadership across so many sectors and careers and produce important research for solving the challenges.
Not only solving these challenges, but it's a big term, and Joanna, you've talked about that SDGs are actually transforming international education and research collaborations. Could you maybe explain a little bit more on what that transformation looks like?
Sure. So I just want to underscore really what Jolene also said, and that is that the higher education institutions are actually vital for achieving the SDGs, because this is where the research are conducted. This is where the next generation of leaders is being educated. And that awareness of SDGs in higher education is actually growing. There are many passionate people in our sector of higher education that actually already incorporate this agenda. So faculties, staff, students, and they undertaking many different initiatives. And I think this is where the core of what we are trying to convey is that international education and SDGs are mutually reinforcing. They are interdisciplinary, so open to any area of research. They require many different expertise area, experiences, context, and perspective, which is exactly no one left behind. They are bringing together everyone in and allow people to connect with each other, to support what they're doing, but also to advance research. And I think that's the key. So the key elements of all the global learning that we're trying to achieve is actually central to achieving SDGs. And the research that we're conducting are also central to achieving SDGs. And there are many different examples on how we can achieve SDGs with the research, with the innovation. One SDG, for example, the quality education, it includes one target that focuses on education for sustainable development. And that includes global citizenship and appreciation of cultural diversity. So it's closely aligned with what we are trying to do through global education, through global learning. There are many other ways to think about the research from higher education are already contributing to sustainable development goals. All those areas that Jolene mentioned, the climate, the poverty, infrastructure, water, energy, all of these are critical to actually achieving the SDGs, but also critical areas of the knowledge production. And that is also very important.
There's a lot that goes into a comprehensive internationalization strategy. SDGs is one part of that. But why is there a need to integrate these SDGs in the priority of everything we have to do in our international education offices and all the responsibilities? Why integrate SDGs?
In many ways, the higher education right now is at the inflection point. We need to transform the sector so we can actually engage more effectively on those pressing issues. As I mentioned, we also want to prepare our students, and we need to demonstrate the value of higher education to this society, because that's sometimes the argument that has been used. What is the value of higher education? The higher education is not bringing much. If we engage with SDGs and we focus on different areas, this is exactly what the value is. The value is to really provide the knowledge, educate the students, and expand the awareness of SDGs through as an important point.
Yeah, higher education is, we've taken a lot of our fair share of knocks in a role. And this takes the role of universities to a whole new level. Jolie, this kind of leads into, I think, the very motivations for why the two of you wrote this book, Global Goals, Global Education, Advancing the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Tell me about the motivation. Why did you embark on this? Because I know you had enough going on in your life already versus taking on writing an entire book. Why was this important to you?
Yeah, we have, over the last few years, been part of so many conversations with other universities around the world on the SDGs. And we were really seeing a growing interest from the higher education sector. But also all these questions were being raised about best practices. University leaders were really looking for approaches, ideas about how to take it forward. But the examples tended to be very dispersed. Often the sharing was verbally at international conferences or meetings, but the actual higher education field was really lacking a resource for learning about the diverse approaches from around the world. So we had support from NASA, which published the book, and we really saw a window of opportunity to begin to collect and share those insights in a much more deliberate way. And so we had already identified key areas of interest from higher education institutions that were coming up again and again. So first was university institutional strategy. Second was research. Third was teaching and learning. And fourth, engaging with communities. And these areas were also directly in line with our own approach to the SDGs at UC Davis. So we wanted to organize the book to address multiple dimensions that need to be considered to have a holistic strategy around the SDGs. And we also wanted to profile a range of types of institutions, countries, and approaches. So we ended up with 16 chapters in the book from 16 different locations around the world. And that brought in a variety of regions, Latin America, Europe, Africa, Asia Pacific, Middle East, and North America. While we were working on the book, we also learned that SDG models and lessons from less resource institutions were often invisible. And the higher education field needs to do better in providing the resources and the opportunities so we can all learn from institutions everywhere about how to integrate the SDGs. We learned two important factors for successful SDG integration: one, intentionality, and the second, institutional support. And Joanne already spoke about institutional commitment as well, but in the book chapters, we learned how leadership does play such a central role, along with passionate champions at all levels of the institution. Because at the core, this agenda is really about individuals with creative ideas and institutions that are willing to provide the support for them. It was very inspiring to us to see what individuals can do when they come together and try something new.
Now, I'd love to, Joanna, put you on the spot, because what Jolyn just said there is trying something new. And you've been implementing this at UC Davis. I'd love to know what your experience taking the strategies that you've been talking about here, and how do they impact teaching and research and community engagement and everything that we've been talking about? How have you been able to accomplish that at UC Davis?
So it has been a long journey. And I think this is important to remember from the beginning, that even if you are intentional and even if you are open to the experimentation, it might not work actually. It might be impossible. So we tried many different approaches. We tried to organize some coffee hours and we tried to pull faculty. And some of those things didn't work. And we really, the first year was more about what didn't work. Learning what didn't work, we actually learned what are the points and how we can explore different ways. And I think in the book, especially in the introductory chapter, as somebody said, this is the longest introductory chapter. And we wanted to really show the way that we did it, step by step, really. The 2030 agenda, it really requires that to bring many different lenses together. So a lot of this is about piloting new initiatives and taking risks and persuading your leadership that, yes, this is the time to do it. This is the time to experiment. Initially, we face questions like, why are you doing your global affairs, your international office? Why are you doing sustainability? And we said, no, sustainable development goals are both global and local. And we are collaborating already with the Office of Sustainability. And what was maybe innovative, our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Office. So it was about racial justice, economic justice, social justice, environmental justice. We want to create that more comprehensive approach and incorporate this into many different activities, program, initiatives, and so forth. So maybe Jolene can talk about a few of those chapters or examples that we actually managed to generate.
Yeah, the book chapters by the different authors around the world had so many interesting examples. Higher education institutions are really making deliberate efforts to incorporate the SDG strategy building. And often the processes are an opportunity for deeper thinking about the institution's identity and the mission and how it relates to the SDGs. So we also saw that in many cases, considering the SDGs led to new structures in those institutions and also brought forth new champions for the SDGs in those institutions. We also saw in the book that focusing on specific SDGs or specific topics can also provide institutions with a focal point for strategic direction around this. And this seemed especially useful for smaller institutions to bring their areas of strength to advance specific issue sets, for example, zero hunger or reduced inequalities. We also saw many examples in the book about mapping efforts. And this is a really important step oftentimes with the SDGs, working on the SDGs, because mapping efforts offer an opportunity to gather baseline information about existing connection points at the university to the SDGs. And that's really important to institutions because it can show a way forward and grow the effort. And that does require dedicated time from the institutions. In our case, at UC Davis, we did a voluntary university review and it took more than a year of collaboration. And Joanna talked about some of the units that we collaborated with for that. But if we don't see that alignment, if we don't start documenting it, then it's very hard to make informed strategic choices. So mapping also has allowed many other institutions to show the relevance of the agenda and reveal connections that they may have not seen before that lead to other collaborations. One other aspect is that these processes can actually be tailored to specific areas of interest. So we saw in the book examples of mapping curriculum, for example, to the SDGs. So the efforts do not need to cover all of the activities or all of the SDGs. There's just a lot of room for customization for your circumstances in terms of the mapping process. We also saw in the book that COVID actually opened up, it was a forcing event in many ways for exciting innovations from universities in teaching and learning as institutions started to pivot to the virtual space and then incorporate the SDGs into some of those programs. And so the book also highlights areas where teaching and learning the SDGs is so valuable, not only for students, but for the instructors, the faculty members as all. And we certainly know that from our own work at UC Davis through our internship that focus on the SDGs and bringing the SDGs into classes as well.
I know with working with all these other institutions and you doing it yourself, I was just wondering, what are the challenges of aligning an international comprehensive strategy with SDGs? Because there's always too many priorities to get done in a day. What were the challenges that you found the most important to get over to achieve this kind of success?
Faculty, nothing gonna happen faculty are really critical to those efforts. We have done numerous of things directly related to SDGs, for example, offering SDG grants to faculty so they can start some project and engage. We have also, in our bilateral relationship with the other institutions, we focus on the seed grants money on SDGs, or the other way around, whatever the programs of research and proposals were, faculty have to articulate the SDGs that will be advanced. So this is not extra, and yet we are advancing SDGs by amplifying and articulating. And related efforts, not directly related to SDG, but very much is, now at UC Davis, faculty can put a new statement of public and global impact. And this is the space where they can actually describe and acknowledge what they have done to make UC Davis a global university, what kind of work they have been doing. In the tenure and promotion process, this will now count because they have the opportunity to amplify their global engagement.
Jolene, I think you had something to add to that.
Yeah, I also wanted to just mention just how essential it is to engage across communities for this agenda and for higher education institutions. And we saw in the book just so many variations of ways to do this engagement, ranging from universities working very closely with Indigenous communities to projects with local organizations and regional and international levels. And here at UC Davis, we've been working for more than a year with the city of Sacramento on a voluntary local review on the SDGs. And that's actually going to be released next week. And these kinds of projects can definitely have their challenges. We're working across sectors. We're coming from different sectors. But over time, we are able to solidify relationships. And then those open up all kinds of other possibilities for academic institutions and non-academic institutions, local institutions, et cetera, to work more closely together. So in our case, we've been already talking to the city of Sacramento about what we could do next together and how we could involve students and some of the challenges that they're facing and our faculty and so forth. It opens up a very exciting possibilities.
So I know if everybody else is listening here, okay, I get it. I get the point. I understand the benefits. What do I have to do? You've been implementing this. You've been working with others. You've written the book on the subject. What are the practical steps that we should be thinking about if we want to be doing this out of our offices?
So in the book, actually, we really showing step by step what needs to be done. We need to have champions, very specific champions in different groups around with which we are working. So champions with faculty, champions with students, champions with the institutional leadership, and obtaining, building that institutional support and pushing really for the integration in the strategic direction. So mapping is one thing, because when you do mapping, you begin to have data and you can articulate and you can say, like we did, oh, half of the SDGs or all the SDGs are being done by the UC Davis faculty, and half of this is being done in California and so forth. It's a very different conversation to have data and being specific. So that's, I would say, really very important. You want to provide incentives for faculty engagement. You want to build support with your leadership, but you have to be able to articulate why this is important for advancing the mission of the university. So it's not just SDG for sake of SDGs, it's how SDGs make a difference and advance university's mission and vision and engagement as a broader institution. You want to encourage people to think, when they're building partnerships, as we did with the grants that I mentioned, because that gives you the visibility. if you focus, then your partners are also focused. And then you're advancing SDGs, but you're also advancing global standing of the institution. You're advancing the faculty who are involved and so forth. And then finally, and I think it's very important to think about the students. Students are critical. We created internships. We're providing opportunities for them to participate in a competition in different ways, locally, globally. Students want to participate. They are already much more advanced than the faculty and staff. And maybe last point, that when we think comprehensively, operations. So one of the things that we did in our report, the Voluntary University Review, we add operations. And we wanted to show how we as an institution are committed. How do we change the big water shift that we created, and we're using steam, hot water, and literally we ripped campus apart and we put the new pipe system to use the steam. Recycling, bicycles. There is a lot of things that campus is doing, but making that connection you do, this is exactly how you advance both SDGs and university contribution. So there's a lot of stuff. Once you start seeing it, it's everywhere.
We've talked about a lot, and I want to make sure you've got a whole book worth of knowledge and expertise and all the time, the case studies and everything. What haven't we covered, JoLynn? What, if you could say, okay, I want to make sure we say this, what haven't we covered that's important to say?
I think we have quite a bit of attention now on engagement of university leaders, faculty, students, and the SDGs, but there's been a lot less attention on the professional staff in higher education institutions. We're seeing an emerging interest in the SDGs as an area of professional competency, professional development. Certainly professional staff play such a crucial role in these institutions and such a crucial role in advancing this agenda in these institutions. And many are looking for that deeper competency on this and ideas because they're already developing programs, running programs, managing, evaluating programs. It's just really a great opportunity for bringing more champions to take this forward at all levels of these institutions.
I have one last question. And Joanna, I'm going to ask you, if there was one thing that you wanted everybody to take away, to make sure that they can remember, what's the one most important thing that you'd have them understand?
Start slow, but move holistically. So choose something where you can start and grow from. But you have to not just do one thing, but you have to think about the complexity. You have to have multifaceted strategy, how to help reinforce the message with different audiences at different moments in time. Because otherwise, you're going to create a silo. And silo is not holistic, silo is not comprehensive. So building and expanding champions, providing support from every quarter, building partnerships with people that you don't think normally you will build partnerships. So reaching out to those who are not involved and not included. And that will help also to economize on the limited resources that we had, because there will be more champions. They will speak in different voice, and yet we'll speak together in one voice. So this is what will be the holistic way and intentional way, something that we started at the beginning of this discussion.
I want to make sure that people not only have this podcast as a resource, would it be appropriate that we gave links to maybe your online profiles or a way to make sure that people that had questions could reach out and ask those questions? Would that be okay?
Sure. Absolutely. And we do have an SDG page as well on the UC Davis site. So anyone can also Google that. We can provide the link. But if you Google SDGs UC Davis, it comes up.
Fantastic. And then I also want to make sure if you could hold the book up again and read the title. And where do we go to get it? Do we go to Amazon? Like, where do we get the book?
So it's called Global Goals, Global Education, Advancing the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And it's available through NAFSA. The best place is to order it directly from the NAFSA site.
And so again, if I type in NAFSA and the title of the book, it'll take me to the right page, I'm sure.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on. You've done so much work in this area, and to share that so that we can all benefit is just incredible. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to share with us and move SDGs and an internationalization comprehensive strategy forward. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you.
Thank you.